So now we come to the master production schedule. Master production schedule is a plan for the production of individual end item, and this is what we have also emphasized in the previous chapter, that master production schedule is always talking of the end product. We said that when we are looking at one manufacturing site, whatever is the finished product coming out of that site is what the master production schedule actually plans. We also said that, like, for an automobile unit, you have an affiliate or a sister concern which is actually making the engine assembly or the transmission assembly. For them, the finished product will be the engine block or the engine assembly, functional engine or a transmission system, which is a finished product for them. So when they are planning, for them the finished product will be the engine, and for the assembly unit, the finished product will be the entire car, you know, which is a fully assembled, fully operational car. So the production plan determines the manufacturing output for families or groups. So we saw that production plan is a high level plan. It doesn't go into exactly which model, which variant, etc. Okay, so it is broadly talking of output for families or group of product. So you're talking of a refrigerator, you are talking of a 200 liter refrigerator or a 300 liter refrigerator. You're not still talking about the exact model, etc. So, but when we come to the master production schedule, we break it down into the plan for the individual item. So then you're talking of whether the car you're going to make or assemble is going to be a VXI or LXI or LX or VX, or and will it be a red car or it will be a yellow car or a white car. So you are talking of the exact end SKU, the exact end product. For each individual end item, master production schedule takes into consideration the forecast, actual customer orders, desired inventory levels, and capacity in determining the master production schedule requirement. So we have said this, that the demand comes from your firm open orders that you have in the system, and also the forecast which has been given. Forecast is a demand which is expected, but for which you don't have firm orders in the system, right? But both these combined together forms your demand plan. So master production schedule will look at your demand plan. It will look at what are the inventory levels that you already are having and what is your capacity. Because let us say that the master the demand plan and the inventory tells us that we have to assemble 500 cars, but my capacity, what I can produce, is only 400 cars. So it has to also take into consideration what is the capacity that I have. The master production schedule hence acts as an interface between the production and marketing function. Rough cut capacity planning helps in identifying and evaluating the bottleneck resources involved in achieving the master production schedule. So while making the master production schedule, you are looking at what are the bottlenecks, and this is a part of the S&OP process. So you are looking at the broad level plan, what you're going to make, what are the challenges you have in terms of resources, and the resources could be capacities, could be manpower, labor. If you are doing any labor intensive job, then labor is also an important part. So all these things are taken into consideration. So general concepts of master scheduling. The master production schedule helps in developing the schedule showing which product, how many of them, and when they are to be produced. So you are talking not only of the exact end product, okay, the unique SKU, how many numbers are going to be produced and when. And mind you, so let's say that we have finalized that we are going to make a particular model, a VXI model, where I have a capacity of 400. Yeah, I also have to then decide that I will make this 400 in one shot, or whether I will make 200 in the first week, 100 in the second week, and 100 in the third week. So in master production schedule, it's not only about the volume that I'm going to produce, but also the time frame. Now I'll give the chemical industry example. We have products which sell, let's say, 100 tons per month. My production batch size is 10 tons. The sale of the product is not uniform throughout the month. But the sale is also not lumped together, meaning it's not that in the first week I will sell 100 tons. So I could be selling, or I have some export order that I have to ship out some material to, let's say, Europe or so. So what we do is that in the master production schedule, we look at what is the domestic requirement, what is the export requirement, and then we plan. Now, we talked about, optimizing the various operations. So manufacturing will be very happy to produce 100 tons in one shot. So you start, you make one batch, you make the second batch, this is what we call as a campaign. So when you run a campaign, you don't have to wash the equipment. Once the campaign is over, then you have to drain all the material, you have to wash the equipment completely before you can start making the next product. So production will be very happy if I told them make 100 tons. But if I made 100 tons, I'm going to suddenly add 100 tons to my inventory. And my warehouse will be, blocked, because I know that the material is not going to be sold within the first week. So what we do is we break the production into two or three campaigns. So maybe we have a export order which I'm supposed to ship out in the last week of the month. So I will say I have a 40 ton order in the last week. So I will schedule that, let's say in the third week. I say in the third week I'll make 40 tons. That means four batches I'm going to make it as a campaign. And I may make, say, 30 tons in the first week, another 30 tons in the second week. I will have to break the run. That means I make three batches, I break the run, I make some other product. Then again, in the second week, I make another three batches. And in the third week, I make another four batches, which is for my export orders. So master production schedule actually dictates this. So it specifies how you're going to produce the material. And by doing this, you're optimizing the utilization of your equipment. So one way could have been that I make a 10 ton batch 10 times, but then that would have meant 10 changeovers, which means 10 times the material, the equipment will be down. There will be idle time. There will be a lot of effluent generated, because every time I wash the equipment, the wash liquor has to be processed in the effluent treatment plant, which is also costing us money. So I find an optimum solution where I don't hold too high inventory, but at the same time, I have the product available when I need to sell the product. So in developing the schedule for individual end items, the master production schedule should consider the production plan, item forecast, and actual customer orders, backlogs, and the management goals and objectives. So I explained to you how we do this. Also, if you have a safety stock, right, you are supposed to hold some safety stock or minimum stock level, as we call it. So we see that we have got a forecast and we have got the firm orders. So both put together, we have a certain quantity. To that, we will add the safety stock. Then we will minus what are the stock we have already on hand. And once you minus the stock on hand, then you know what exactly you need to plan for the month. So that is how we do it. Backlog is also part of the demand. So that is also added to your total demand. So let us say that I had a 20 ton backlog. I stocked out and I could not service this backlog, right? So then the backlog plus whatever fresh orders I have for delivery now. And in addition to this, what is the forecast? All these are pulled together, minus the inventory on hand. This becomes my production plan. And then that production plan is broken into the timeline, depending upon what are the deliveries which have been asked for, or the deliveries which marketing and sales have indicated that more or less we will be selling in the domestic market 20 tons every week or something like this. Okay. Since the master production schedule is the disaggregation of the production plan, it is limited by the production plan, and hence the total of the items in the master production schedule must equal the total of the production plan. So basically, it's a production plan is a high level plan. Master production schedule is a low level and a very, very granular plan. So when we are talking of the master production schedule, we are also talking of each SKU wise. So we took the example of a car where we say how many red cars, how many yellow car, and how many white cars. And within that, how many LXI, VXI, LX, VX models, you know, we are going to make. But when you're talking of the production plan, you're probably only talking of number of cars that you're going to make in certain grouping. The group could be just a model, or it could be like how many LXI, VXI, and how many LX, VX we're going to make. The colors are not important. The colors can be managed in the tactical or operational level. Master production schedule integrates the marketing, sales, and production functions at individual item level, because when you are arriving at the master production schedule, you are exactly talking of the SKUs. And you know, maybe the sales and marketing may tell you that, oh, you know, the white car is selling in large numbers at the moment, so we need actually more of the white cars, and the yellow is not selling so much, so we need to make less of the yellow car. So whole purpose being, you know, that you don't make a product which will lie in your inventory. I mean, we want all the products to move, and we continue to maintain minimum inventory for each of the product. So purpose of the master production schedule: smoothening and stabilizing the production plans. So master production schedule helps to buffer the forecast, which are generally based on historical patterns and which seldom correspond to the actual demand patterns, and thus helps in reducing the nervousness caused by the forecast. Yes, many places the forecast is based on historical data. So you are taking the historical data and then you are applying certain statistical forecasting models. So they know that in a certain season, there is sudden pickup. Like for example, as far as companies are concerned, they tend to buy cars in the month of say January to March, because they have to charge the depreciation in their book of account. So if the company is doing well and they want to bring down their tax liability, they will buy some vehicles, etc., for the company. And you know, so the statistical forecast will take some of these factors into account. Or you find that during a certain festival times, you have a peak in sales because people want to buy a car only on the festive occasion, you know, because it's auspicious or so. So then these factors are also considered while giving the forecast. Forecast can not be completely ignored, because many a times the dealer or distributor is also giving you a forecast based on the indications they have, or this kind of the past knowledge that they have, you know, where the there is going to be a peak in the demand. So basically, master production schedule will ease some of these anxieties. And also, you know, when you are making the plan in a deferred manner, there is a scope for you to even play with the master production schedule. So you find that the sales are not happening, you can even curtail the sales and make some corrections. So wherever you have firm orders, you are very confident, you go ahead, you make the product. But wherever you don't have firm orders and you have high inventories, then you can make amends, you can make corrections. Estimating and managing key resources. So the master production schedule forms the basis for estimating the key resources requirement and involves the management of the impact on these key resources due to schedule changes. So when you make for example, certain kind of a product requires it's labor intensive, you require high number of labor, etc. So the master production schedule will tell you that you will require extra labor here. This is a kind of a forewarning or an estimate that the system gives you. It also involves identifying overtime outsourcing needs to manage production schedule. So you find that you are only working, let's say, two shifts a day. A particular manufacturing unit is working two shifts every day. Now you have a higher demand, then you have the option that you can run a third shift for, let's say, 1 week. And to do so, what will be the overtime required? Or if you have to outsource it, then what is the volume which needs to be outsourced? So this also is part of the master production schedule. Keeping priorities valid. So master production schedule ensures the execution of the production plan and develops the data required to drive the detailed MRP planning levels, keeping the priorities current and valid. So we saw this even in when we discussed the MRP plan, because master production schedule actually drives the MRP. Based on the schedule you have given, you know, when you want to produce the material so that it is ready for delivery to the customer. So that will drive the MRP as to when the material should be there with the manufacturing facility or in the warehouse so that it can be issued for production purpose. So it basically drives the entire schedule for manufacturing, and any priorities that you have, it will keep it current. Controlling item inventory. So through the technique of netting and lot sizing, master production schedule determines the net requirement and batch sizes that result in economical groups for production, which helps in better utilization of the facility. So what I talked about, you know, the campaign, you have a 10 ton batch, but you have a campaign of 30 tons or so, or 30 or 40 tons. So this is one of those factors that we are talking about. For better utilization, you have to have a certain economic batch, you know, in which you have to make the material. You cannot have a single item being produced. Every time you make a particular variant, you have to make a certain number depending upon the complexity of that product, because otherwise the changeovers will bring down your efficiencies. So this is also one of the responsibility of the master production schedule. Making delivery promises. So master production schedule helps in making possible reliable delivery promises by providing information on available to promise. ATP is what we call available to promise, indicating when the end product will be available. So in an ERP system, when a customer places an order, and we follow this system in our company, if the material is available in stock, it will check whether it is available. Now it could be that material is available in stock, but it is already allocated to an order which is, let's say, scheduled for delivery in the second week. So then it cannot touch that inventory. This inventory has already been assigned to a particular order. So what it does, it goes back to the master production schedule and it looks at when will the next batch be available. Now, so how it looks at is, let us say if there is an unrestricted stock available, that means there is a sellable stock which is available, then it will immediately say that yes, this material is available. Suppose the customer has asked for the material immediately. So then the available to promise will say, yes, the material is available. It can be immediately shipped out. Okay. Second case is what we saw, that material is available, but it has been assigned to some other order, in which case it will go to the master production schedule and it will look at when the next lot or the batch is going to be available. And it will then assign that date. So let us say the master production schedule says that by mid of the month, the next batch will be coming. So based on that, ERP can promise and it can say that, look, the next supply or the quantity ordered by you will be available by mid of the month. Now, sometimes it may so happen that even the material which is under production, that means master production schedule, which is not yet manufactured, has also been assigned to some other orders. Then it will go to the next batch which has been planned, and then from there it will say this is the delivery that we can commit to you. So this is the delivery which is promised by the system, saying we will meet your requirement by certain date. And mind you, the most of the companies, the OTIF, which is a very key KPI, OTIF is on time in full. It measures whether you have been able to deliver the product on time and the entire quantity which has been ordered as per the promise. And here, whatever is the first promise you have made, so the customer asked for the material by the 15th of the month, but you said, sorry, 15th is not possible, but I will supply the material by the 20th of the month. So once the customer accepts the delivery, and if you deliver the material by or before 20th, then you have 100% OTIF. That is, you have delivered the material on or before time and the full quantity that the customer has asked. Okay, so available to promise is also driven by the mass production schedule. That is how the system knows when the material, the next batch of material will be available. The important master production schedule design considerations, what do they include? So manufacturing environment characteristics, product structures in various environments, whether you are following the make to stock structure, or you are following the assemble to order or make to order. So assemble to order is normally, you know, in a automobile kind of a scenario where you have standard options available, and based on the customized requirement that you have furnished, they will assemble a car. So you wanted a diesel engine with a auto transmission, and you wanted leather seats, and you wanted the sports steering wheel, and you wanted the aluminum die-cast wheels. So they will assemble a vehicle to your requirement. Another example of assemble to order is Dell, okay, which we have already talked about. Make to stock is where, based on the forecast, you are making the material. I mean, you don't have firm orders on the hand, but you are making these products and you are keeping it in stock, waiting for the orders to come. And make to order is where either you are making a custom made material, so it is meant for a specific customer to a specific customer's requirement, that means there is no other buyer for this, or it could also be that this is not a regular moving material, the orders are not very predictable. So what you do is you wait for the order to come, and you will only make when you have a certain economic batch size. Then you will make the product and supply and fulfill the requirement. So these are the various philosophies which are considered in the master production schedule. So the major inputs to the master production schedule are, one is the production plan, which we saw. It's a high level plan of what you're going to make within the month. It does not have a very granular data of exactly which model or which color or which variant, but it has a high level group wise data, you know, that broadly you say this model so many cars, this model so many cars, this kind of a thing. Demand data, which is basically the firm orders that you have on hand plus the forecast that you have. Inventory level, what you are already holding in the inventory, and the capacity check. So if you are short on capacity, then you will have to maybe make some amends, but assuming that you have enough capacity, then the capacity check may not be required, because whatever be the demand, you will be able to supply that. So what are the inputs and outputs for the master production schedule? The primary output of master production schedule is an anticipated build schedule. Why we say anticipated? Because it is subject to change. We said that if the demand, we see that the forecast is given as X numbers based on which we have planned a certain production. But we find that the inventory is not moving. So we may curtail the plan, we may defer the manufacturing of that particular item, so that we don't make add value and then just keep it in the inventory. So anticipated build schedule of the individual end item, that means you're talking of exactly the model or the variant that you're going to build, which further becomes the input to the material requirement plan. So we already know that master production schedule is what drives the material requirement plan, which plans for the necessary components to achieve the master production schedule. Master production schedule is a time phase schedule. It's not just that I'm going to make so many pieces in a month, but it's also exactly now, while I'm talking, I tell you that first week and second week, but in reality, the master production schedule is date wise. And in certain industry, it will be date and a particular time. That means you will say it will be manufactured, the batch or the processing of this particular material will start at on this date by, let's say, 12 noon or by a particular shift. So this is the level of planning which goes into master production schedule. So it's a time phased schedule of the end item requirement. So, and you're talking in terms of when the end item has to be made available. So one is when you need to start manufacturing it, but basically the master production schedule is about when the product has to be made available for shipment. So time phase schedule becomes the input to the material requirement plan in terms of quantity and time. We have already discussed this, so I will not harp on it. So in a make to stock environment, customer orders are satisfied from inventory. However, in a make to order or assemble to order environment, demand is satisfied from the production capacity. So you are not making the product until and unless you have got a firm order. Sales and distribution needs to know what is available to satisfy customer demand, since demand can be satisfied either from inventory or from scheduled receipts. The MPS provides a plan for both. So we talked about the available to promise, where it will look at your inventory. If you have stocked out, then it will look at master production schedule. You may not have stocked out, but the inventory has already been committed to some other order. There is also one more scenario. Many times it so happens that you have a certain inventory, you have a scheduled order, let's say for the month end. The customer wants the material immediately, but you have another batch which is planned, let's say by the third week. So you may decide to reassign the stocks to the fresh order which has been received, which is required to be shipped out immediately. And from the next production schedule, you will fulfill the order which is supposed to be shipped out by the end of the month. So all these are part of the master production schedule. So as orders are received, they consume the available inventory or capacity. So let us say that you have a certain capacity. So orders are received, you may have an inventory, the inventory will be assigned to the order. Now, let us say the inventory is already fully assigned. Then beyond that, you will start assigning the capacity. Now, indirectly, capacity is nothing but the works orders or the production orders which are already issued. So once even those orders are booked, right? So you are receiving a firm order, then it will say that, okay, now I cannot supply this material within the current month. Let us say your horizon was the current month. And it may tell you that I may only be able to supply this product in the coming month, in the next month. So it's not always that the promise is from the stock available, but also the capacities which are available, sellable capacities which are available. So using the MPS, sales and distribution can determine the available to promise, which we have already discussed. So coming to the summary, production planning is required for scheduling, dispatch, inspection, quality management, inventory management, supply management, and equipment management. We have seen this because overall plan tells you what are the kind of resources you require. So if your capacity is fully booked, then you know that you require all the resources and you require them to the fullest extent. So if it's a vacation season and if some of your labor are going to be on leave, then you will have to plan for overtime or maybe outsourcing of the product, etc. Production control ensures that production team can achieve required production targets, optimum utilization of the resources, quality management, and cost savings. We have talked this in detail. So with that, we come to end of this chapter. Thank you.